We are here. I, Paula Gordon, Bill Russell, Carolyn Jessup. We're talking about polygamy. We're talking about a time, a way. We're talking about many, 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 many elements that all come together in this oddly illegal and yet for some attractive lifestyle on many levels. Bill Russell?
It's sort of odd to me we're doing this on the day that Barack Obama is inaugurated as president. He comes out of an ethnic tradition that is that suffered under slavery for hundreds of years, and involuntary servitude and abuse even after the end of the institution. A lot of the things you talk about, I mean, it looks at the very least like involuntary servitude. But to juxtapose the wonderful event that is a black man becoming president of the United States.
A good man becoming president who is black.
Also that. In this immediate context, it seems mm-hmm. to me that there's also a challenge because religion has been through the history of this country from day one, maybe day two. And various relatively extreme forms of religion have been a part of our historical experience, the American experience. And it seems to me that you know that this contraposition, this juxtaposition of finally the nation recognizing the humanity of non-whites.
That it's non-white men.
Non-whites. That we, perhaps there is some hope that we will begin to expand that understanding to women and to begin to examine some of the serious abuses that are done in the name of gods.
And children and the planet. These are opportunities.
Well, I say all that because it seems to me that the story you tell to me is just incredibly depressing. Because it happened to you, and it's happening to people. Continues to happen.
It's happening to thousands.
It's happening right now.
And thousands of children. I mean, this is not a small, isolated group. The FLDS is one of the largest closed polygamous communities in the United States.
How many people?
There are many others.
How many people are we talking about in FTLS?
Around 10,000 in the FLDS. But there are around 80,000 polygamists in the state of Utah alone. And to get it polygamy and blanket it for prosecution is not going to happen. It's an impossible situation. So the authorities in Arizona and Utah, because it's so prominent there, and into Idaho, it's just gone into a situation for the last 50 years of, okay, we'll just ignore it. And I'm here saying, no, you cannot ignore this, because there are people who are having their lives destroyed. There's the human element here. Many people who leave these communities, their life is a matter of human wreckage. There's not much left to salvage by the time they get out, and the extreme emotional, psychological, and physical damage that's been done to them. It's very hard to recover from. And when you bring up Obama, I mean, the day that he was elected, I never voted in my life. Because in this religion, it was a religious thing to vote, but you were always told who you had to vote for. And there was something inside of me that refused to go down that path. So I always found excuses to get out of voting. After I left, when Obama started running for president, is the first time I wanted to vote. And I voted, and he won. And it was huge for me because Abraham Lincoln, one of the statements that he made is that there are two abominations in this country, slavery and polygamy. He dealt with slavery, and then he was assassinated. No one has dealt with polygamy. And it's time. It's time for it to be dealt with. This nation needs to get informed. They cannot continue to ignore what's occurring.
Well, and the rhetoric today, and a lot of it, and not just today, but you know, throughout our history, American history, is about freedom. And mm-hmm. and these are violations. They're violations of basic human rights and the fundamental core notion that all Americans talk about, which is freedom.
And is there any freedom within the FDLS?
I never experienced freedom until I left the FLDS. So when I was on the run from the FLDS, it was the first time in my life I ever walked into a grocery store and realized that I could feed my children whatever I wanted for dinner, and there was nobody standing over me with a whip any longer.
You had eight children.
I had eight children, and I had never been able to make choices for them. I had never tasted freedom till I left. And this is in the, I was born in the freest country in the world, but yet in many cases I was a refugee in every sense of the word.
How so?
I did not understand I didn't understand society. I didn't know how to fit in. I was running for my life when I first left. They were hunting me down.
And your children.
And my children.
And you got out with all eight.
I got out. I was the first woman ever to get all of her children out and get legal custody. Women do occasionally leave the FLDS, but they run and they hide. They rarely, if ever, get all of their children out with them. And then they're hunted down. When they're found, they run again. Because of my son's medical conditions, I knew when I left, running was not an option. I knew I would have to face them. So I did. When I walked into court, the judge got a look on her face like the circus had just walked into her courtroom, and she did not know how to deal with it. Here's a woman coming in. She's saying, I'm the fourth wife of a man who has seven wives. He's fathered 54 children. I have eight of them, and I want custody of my eight. So here, in many ways, we're both saying we've been breaking the law. Mm-hmm. We're both criminals. We openly acknowledge this. And I'm saying, I want children. I want custody. And he's saying, but I fathered these children, and I have the same emotions towards these children as any father, and I have rights.
Well, more than I have rights, there are many appalling lines in your book, Escape, that you render beautifully. Maybe the show stopped most when one of your children said, I think it was Betty, one of your children said, you have no right to us. We belong to Father. He owns us.
Children are property. In many ways, the very things that are going on within the FLDS, it is nothing more than legalized child abuse. And even when the authorities go in and they find the child abuse, it is so difficult to deal with the crime because you can't get witnesses. You have everybody coming down on the state agencies that are trying to deal with the abuse and saying, oh, you're just persecuting them for their religion. People need to look past the religion. They need to look at facts. The state of Texas released a report saying that they found undisputed evidence that there was abuse and neglect in 91 families that they took out of that ranch. 91.
Out of how many?
Out of around 140.
And you're not talking about kids getting swatted. You're talking about broken bones.
We're talking about broken bones. We're talking about sexual abuse. We're talking about some fairly significant crimes. And yet these children have all been sent back, and to the parents, and the parents, the only thing these mothers have really been required to do is take some parenting classes. You're talking about generational mind control. A parenting class does not fix generational mind control.
Well,
that's what's putting the kids at risk.
Serious risk, risk of death.
It's not only the children that are property. By your account, it appears that the women are property and are used essentially as currency.
That was my experience in the group. With arranged marriages, when somebody can assign you to a man and then a drop of a hat take you away from a man and reassign you to another man, you're nothing more than a commodity. And you very much are owned, and your children are owned, and you have no power over who you're going to be sleeping with from one night to the next.
You do have somebody at the end saying that she felt like she was a prostitute.
Yes, that before I left, there was a woman who had been taken away from about five husbands and reassigned. She had five children. Every one of them had different fathers. And her statement about how she felt about her life was that it was filthy. She felt like she was a priesthood prostitute.
Priesthood?
Yes.
This notion of the priest head, the man of the family, the father as the priest head, the religious part even is pretty appalling, that women in particular, and children. Well, tell us about that. That the only way that you can get to anything like salvation or God or anything.
Well, it's not only is it polygamous, it is polytheistic, which I find bizarre.
Take it at your own. It's just the religion itself is pretty amazing to someone who's not, and you do characterize it as a cult, so I'm going to characterize it as a cult.
Well, yes, but if you actually look at the characteristics of the FLDS, it meets 10 out of 10 of the characteristics for a dangerous and destructive cult. If a cult, many groups can be classified as a cult, but that doesn't make them dangerous and destructive.
Mm.
There's a list that you look at, and there's 10 elements on that list of control. If a group meets 8 out of 10, they are dangerous and destructive, and you need to be careful. The FLDS meet 10 out of 10.
Things
they have
like
everything on the list.
Things like
Controlling you sexually, who you have sex with. Things like what you're allowed to be exposed to, so information control, geographical control, isolation. Those are just a few of the examples, but those are all elements to look at, and the FLDS use all those elements to control their members.
You quote the Attorney General of Utah as saying that he's got a big chunk of his state that is run essentially by, worse than what the Taliban does in Afghanistan. This is America. This is 2008.
Nine.
He's he's not talking ancient history. He was talking within the last few years. For those of us who don't experience this on a regular basis, that it seems not only bizarre, it seems a screaming outrage.
Well, one of the issues with this condition is resources. The resources to break it up, the resources to deal with the crime, and when you will not have victims talk. One of the methods that the Attorney General of the State of Utah has used, Mark Shurtleff, is to try to break into these polygamous societies and develop a rapport with the victims so that the victims will go to him for help, because it has to start somewhere. You can't prosecute crime when you have no evidence to prosecute it on, and nobody will come forward. So those are some of the significant issues. But the Attorney General's Office in the State of Utah, they're looking at three approaches to the problem. One is to get services in place to help victims. There's minimal help there, but at least they've done something. When I came out, there was nothing. The other thing that they're looking at is prosecuting crime. Mark Shurtleff was very involved with putting Warren behind bars and going after other members of this group.
This would be Warren.
Warren Jeffs. So the case that put him behind bars was, Mark Shurtleff was behind that. Prosecuting the crime that you can get at. And then
those crimes were
an accomplice. He was an accomplice to the rape of a 14-year-old. And Mark Shurtleff has been very involved with passing legislation in the state of Utah against polygamous underage marriages, because it's so prominent in these polygamous communities.
I'm sorry, I interrupted you. There was a third.
The third issue is to break into these closed societies and break down the fear of the outside world. And he's done that through the Safety Net Committee meetings, and the Attorney General's Office hosts those meetings every month. The AG's office in Arizona has participated and taken a similar approach. So it's not like nothing's been done, but the issue is there's so much to do. And then with Texas, what we had there with them taking the children, there were so many good people that did so much good. It's just, in a way, it's like, how could have it gone worse? Because of the issues that came out in that.
Let's go back to that point when we return in a moment. Bill Russell, I, Paula Gordon, you, Carolyn Jessup, and we trust you'll be with us when we return.